Yeah, good evening to you. Thank you for being here. We'll be in John 21. I preached this message at the Bible conference, and I wanted to preach it again. I wanted to preach it here. We've been preaching on this subject a little bit, but I wanted this to be preached here because we need it. You and I both need it. And it also makes another avenue for people to hear the message. And I won't be as rushed here as I was there. 30 minutes, it's hard to preach much in 30 minutes, but that's what we give here, and that's what they give there. Actually, it's 35, but it takes you 5 minutes to get started. So it makes it hard there, but I am pleased to be able to speak it here amongst you. I'm also going to preach the other one. I won't Sunday because I have another message. Sunday. But I did want to say that Pastor Kelly and Decatur Baptist Church in Huntsville, Alabama passed away. I didn't know the brother, but Glenn and Sister, the Gibbons go there. Also, Judge Reynolds goes there. They're all members there. He passed away, so they're in need of another pastor before too long also. So, did pray for the Decatur, Alabama. They've had pastor problems for some time. Brother Tweet was there for a while and he left. And I don't remember, Brother Kelly's been there for a little while, but like I say, I've never met him. I wished I could meet more of these preachers. I want to go sometime up to Kentucky to Brother Steve McCool's church and meet all the brothers up there I've never met up there. You know, I just meet the ones around here because I don't go up very far. But there's a lot of fine preachers out there, and I'd love to meet them. But unfortunately, I never got a chance to meet him. If you go to John 21, we're going to look at a conversation taking place between Jesus and Peter. He says in verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. Then the Lord said again in verse 17, he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. The purpose was here, the Lord had just prepared a meal for them. And when they drug the net out of the waters, it was full of fish. I think there was 150 or something in there. I'm not going to read all the passages of scripture. But you can read about that in 9 through 12. And then the Lord gets into Peter and telling him, the charge of him is to feed the sheep. That is the purpose of pastors. The purpose of pastors and teachers and ministers and missionaries, well, missionaries have a different job, but they also feed the sheep, don't they? Anyone who stands in the pulpit of the Lord's church is commanded to feed the sheep. We're not up here for any other purpose.
Amen.
There's no other purpose or reason for us to be in the pulpit at the Lord's church except to feed the sheep. It's the most important thing we do is to feed the sheep. And if we fail on our job, then the church is not getting what they need.
Amen.
The Lord called for three different things in the Gospel of John. And I'm not going there. If you go to John 1:39, it says, come and see. The Lord invites them to come and see. And if you go to John 7:37, the Lord invites them to come and drink. And here he invites them to come and dine. This is the dining place right here. This is where the people of God come and dine. That's our purpose here. That's the purpose we have in here. So as pastors and ministers and even teachers, we must remember our work is to feed God's sheep. What's important about the work of the Lord has entrusted into our hands is we have a great responsibility as shepherds, under shepherds to the shepherd of the Lord's flock. And that is to do the Lord's work in his place, in this place. Amen. Pastors sometimes look at themselves as ministers and teachers, and sometimes missionaries, as more important than we are. We're not important. What we are is teachers. The Lord has placed into a pulpit to feed the sheep. And there's no greater responsibility that people have anywhere than to feed the sheep of God. We must always remember this work is the Lord's work. We're just a chosen vessel with very large responsibility. The local church is a seminary of divine learning, a place that God has chosen for our table of spiritual food. We don't need seminaries. This is a seminary right here. I don't have anything against seminaries, but we don't need them. If you come to the Lord's church, you will learn, because the Lord's going to make sure the food is given, the proper food is in the spiritual talk to feed off of. All we have to do is to feed from it. The Lord said in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica. And they that received the word of word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily where those things were so. Isn't that something? These people, Berea, were better than the ones at Thessalonica because they accepted the word as written. In fact, they studied the word daily. It says, when they received it with a readiness of mind. I wonder how many people go to church with a readiness of mind to understand the word of God. Y'all do. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other churches. I know some churches, I've heard of them, I don't know them, that's made some great mistakes. I know some pastors, and I know some of them. Never met them, but I know them. And they're good, solid, great, Sovereign Grace Baptist pastors that I've been told that is making some error in judgment. We have to be ready-minded for the scriptures. We need to study. Never accept any person's word for anything. Always study. To see whether those things are so or not. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Lord said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Make yourself God ready. Now, I wonder how many Christians today are truly ready for Jesus to return. I would like to know. Because I see a lot of Christians that are not ready for the Lord to return. I see a lot of churches, I see a lot of pastors not ready for the Lord to return. He says, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He says that's our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. But be you transformed to the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is not just to the membership of churches, or just as Christians in general, but to also ministers and teachers and pastors. This is our responsibility too. Sometimes Lord tells us not to think more of ourselves than we ought to. Folks, we're nothing. We are nothing.
Amen.
All the work the Apostle Paul did in his ministry of what? 40 years? 50 years? Whatever it was. It was a long time. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot. We don't know how many letters he actually wrote. We just know about the ones that he wrote that were God used in Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He may have had other writings to churches and people. All the mission trips he did, the sacrifices he made. And when it's all said and done, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
He said, God's grace wasn't wasted on me, which means it was others, but not him. He made full use of it. But Paul realized that he was nothing. He didn't deserve to be an apostle. He didn't deserve to write anything in God's book. He didn't deserve anything, and he knew it. He was a wreck from the beginning. Until Jesus Christ saved his soul and made him somebody.
Amen.
We must feed the Lord's sheep. We must not seek to please the world. We must not seek to please man. We must seek to please God.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, the Lord said, as we said before, so I say again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It's that simple, folks. Are we all in the church? Are we all as Christians seeking to please the Lord and not people? Not all people are. Not all churches are. Not all Christians are. They are not to serve the Lord and to please God. That's the reason they lay low. That's the reason they don't press on some things. That's the reason they don't preach certain things. It's because they are afraid of hurting people's feelings.
Amen.
And when preachers and teachers and churches reaches the point, and I have not turned this on. Oh man, what a mess. When preachers and teachers get to the point, they're not going to teach the things of God and serve the Lord the way he's supposed to be served, then they're worthless. They become worthless. It's Let's get to our first point. Sorry about that, Facebook. I messed that total thing up. First point is we must love the Lord and realize what it means to love Him. That's our first thing we need to do, is first to love Him and then understand what it means to love Him.
Amen.
In John 14, verse 20 through 21, and verse 23, it says, "And in that day we shall know that I am My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He that hath My commandments and keep them, he it is that loves Me." How do we show the Lord we love Him? By keeping His commandments, don't we? "And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself unto him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him." What a blessing!
Amen.
The Lord is actually going to abode with us. God's word and truth is our feeding trough. It's our textbook. The Bible is our textbook for our seminary of divine education. As a pastors, we are in charge of making sure it is kept as truth. Mm-hmm. Lord said in John 14, 24, 25, that we're going to worship the Lord, and we have to worship in spirit and truth. Truth is an essential part of it. Essential part of it. No partial truth. No blown up truth. No truth according to the world. No truth according to the pastor. But the truth according to the word of God. Mark chapter 12, if you will. Second. God commands that we love Jesus. But how much? With everything we have. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." If we follow this verse, then there is no love for anything else.
Amen.
No room for folly. You should not love the world. You should not love your family. You should not even love your spouse more than the Lord.
Amen.
And any Christian ought to be willing to make themselves a living sacrifice for the Lord. And love the Lord more than anybody else. And never allow anyone else to ever get in the way of your love for the Lord.
Amen.
He said, "With all thine heart, in sincerity, never dividing our affections for Him. With all our soul, with every breath of our being." Not just Sundays and Wednesdays and other times we might think about it, but with every breath we breathe, it ought to be for the Lord. With all our mind, that is every stage of your thinking. Every stage of your thinking should be for the Lord. And with all thy strength, every muscle in your body, never give one inch. Let's go to our second point. And go to Acts chapter 20, if you will. Second,
We are commanded to continually take care of God's sheep with the same love. Think about it. Who are the sheep of the Lord?
They're the children of God, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're so much the children of God, they are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, isn't he? And we are the sons of God, aren't we? That's who the sheep are.
Lord said in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and over unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. Listen, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Taking care of the flock is properly feeding them in the spiritual trough, the Word of God. God has placed us pastors over his flocks, always remembering the church is the Lord's people. The churches are the bride of Christ. You got to prioritize all of these. Not only is saved people the sheep of the Lord, the children of God, but the churches are the bride of Christ. All of these titles are of utmost importance, of very utmost importance. It fears me. Some lose that thought. Go to Ephesians 5, if you will. We are to take care of the flock in the proper spiritual feeding, but we also have to remember the Lord's love for his people. The Lord's love for his churches. He says in verse 25, Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, let me ask you something, man. Can we do that? We can never have the same love our wives as Jesus had for the church. But that's our goal, isn't it? That's our command, isn't it? What a powerful statement that is. What a powerful expectation that is for us. For men to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's read on. He says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, listen, with the washing of water by the word. You're washed and cleansed through the word of God. We have to allow the word of God to teach us and to educate us. Studying. Being readiness of mind, as the Church of Berea was. Being readiness of mind. When we sit down in the house of God to study, and then study along with the pastor or the speaker, whoever it is, that we are doing our part to ready our minds for the Lord. We are, through the Word of God, washing our thoughts, mind, spirit, and ways of life by the Word of God. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, we're sinners trying to please God. We're sinners trying to hold a service for the Lord. So we're never going to be perfect in this life as a church or a Christian or anything else, no matter how hard we try. But this is our goal, isn't it? Just like the men will never love their wives like Christ loved you. It's impossible for men to have the same love Christ had. But that's our challenge in life, isn't it? The same things are challenging life to make sure that we are properly washing ourselves in the Word, making sure that we are studying with a readiness of mind, receiving the words of God as they're being preached from the pulpit, and then studying long to make sure those things are right. Well, I might have told you, not any preacher is 100% right. None of them. What a blessing. The Lord loves his church with the same love he commands us to love him with. He sanctifies his body by the truth of his word, which we feed the churches. That through our feeding as pastors, through our feeding, he might purify and purge the church of all error and sin. What a blessing to us. Third, what did the Lord tell Peter? What was the one thing the Lord told Peter here? Feed my sheep. He said, feed my lambs, and he said twice, feed my sheep. The word feed means to tender as a shepherd. That's why we are called under shepherds. We are the shepherds under the shepherds. We must tend to the church as much as Jesus would. See our responsibility in life, folks? Every one of us that's a Christian, and especially every one of us that is a church member, has a great responsibility. And that responsibility is to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Amen. Don't tell me you're not happy. We're not here to make you happy. Don't tell me you're disappointed with something I preach, unless you can prove to me I'm wrong. And then we'll have a conversation. I'm not here to make people happy. I'm here to teach this church the Word of God, to feed you with whatever the Lord wants me to feed you with. We're about to observe the Lord's Supper Sunday. Why don't we use Coca-Cola? Why don't we use grape juice? How about we just go to a liquor store and grab a bottle of wine off the shelf? Why don't we use light bread? Back, let's just have a feast. Everybody bring a dish and let's just have a feast. Because it's not the proper ingredients, is it? You gotta have the right wine and the right bread, don't you? Pure wine and pure bread. Nothing else works. Grape juice don't get you there. Grape juice is a false ingredient. But same thing about the messages. If they're not truth, you're putting the wrong ingredient into the spiritual talk, aren't you? It's got to be truth.
Amen.
Go to John 10, if you will. Jesus said, "My sheep." John 10, verse 25 through 28, he says, "But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. And I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This is not my church, it's the Lord. Church also doesn't belong to any of you, it belongs to the Lord. You are the Lord's sheep. And any time church members treat each other other than sheep, you're wrong. Anytime a pastor treats church members any other way than they are a sheep, he's wrong. We handle the Word of God with love and care, don't we? We handle the Lord's Supper ingredient with a lot of care, don't we? We make sure we've got the right wine, make sure we've got the right bread, make sure we've got the servers, make sure they say prayer before they serve. We all take it at the same time. We follow the Scriptures. We do everything just as close to the Scriptures as the Lord will allow us to. Why is that? Well, that's the way it's supposed to be done, isn't it? We handle it all because it represents the Lord's body and blood, doesn't it?
Amen.
It's not literally the Lord's blood. It's not literally the Lord's body. But metaphorically, it is a reminder of his blood and his body, wasn't it? Isn't it? So, how would we handle the Lord's body? The church is the Lord's body, isn't it? How are we going to handle the Lord's body? See, it's all about the Lord. It's all the Lord's. Go to 1 Peter 5, if you will. I had to rush down. I didn't get all this in. I have a lot of time here, so I may have messed up my Facebook chart. In fact, I'm going to delete it when I'm done. But I've got that audio. I'm going to put it on my website. I love this message. When I put this together, I sat back in my chair and I said, "Praise the Lord." Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. "Feed the flock of God which is among you." That's what you do. Take the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. Not for reward or credit or anything else, but of a ready mind. neither as lords, being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's a pastor, folks. That's his job. That's any teacher. That's the elders of the church. That's you ladies. Being examples of the Lord and the body. Being examples to the younger. Being examples to those that's not as spiritually as well endowed as you are. Teaching them. There's a lot women can teach women. At the Country Baptist Church, we used to have ladies' meetings, and women get together and sit there, and someone would take the lead and lead them. And they would sit down and discuss things about women in the church, about how women do things, women's proper place. Pray together. They were friends. This is the church of the Lord. This is the Lord's body. It's not ours. It's not mine. I'm not the Lord. We're to be examples to the flock as pastors. Well, so is everybody else in the church. Well, I'm the main one that's supposed to be the example of the church. See, I got a few more minutes. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 3, if you will. It's all about the feeding. It's all about the readiness of mind of the church members. It's all about the studying of the Word of God to see that those things are true or not. It's all about your education level, your purification, your growing spiritually. In the Lord's body. I don't care what you believe. When you're in the house of God, you forget everything you believe and focus on what's being taught and focus on what God's saying. You know why people won't accept the sovereignty of God? You know why people won't accept election and predestination and God's big power, all power in the churches? It's because they were taught that ain't true, and they can't get over it. You know why? You know why they can't get over it? Because they refuse to be readiness of mind. They refuse to search the scriptures. They refuse. They reject instead of accepting. Good feeding makes us able to feast upon the words, strong words, which is called the meat of the word. And the Lord calls it strong doctrine, doesn't he? Remember the church at Corinth? Let's go over there. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to read one verse. But you might want to take and read verse 1 down through 7. This church wasn't strong, folks. It had a lot of problems. They couldn't do the Lord's Supper right. There's not much they did do right. Had a lot of problems. Paul straightened them out some with his letter, and then he said, kind of talked about that in the second letter to them. How do you like people to talk about your church? If you go down to Tulsa, or you go down to Oakdale or Denham or Mississippi or somewhere else, and you got people there that's, you know, and they, oh, this is Brother and sister so-and-so, they're from Sovereign Grace Baptist, Missionary Baptist in Texarkana.
I've heard about that church. They don't know too much over there.
Look at verse 2, 1 Corinthians 3. Paul said to this church, he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now you're able. Folks, that's sad. He's talking to a church. And he says, all I can feed them is milk. You know what milk the word is? It's what born again, first thing Christian babes in Christ feed off of. There's nothing strong in it. It's nothing but just toned down, simple messages that have no substitute of much at all. And Paul tells his church, go ahead and read verse 1 through 7. Go ahead, read it. He's critical of them because they never learn the word of God. Pastors need to understand, as important as they are to a church, they are not the center of the church. We act sometimes like a church can't do about it. This church survived a year and almost a half without a pastor. I think Brother Warren left here in January. I think after Justin was baptized, he left. I started to come here in December, and I became pastor here in April 4th. So they went from January till next April. The following year of April before they got a pastor. A lot of churches are without pastors now. We are not the most important thing in the church. The Lord is. Amen. I'm not dumbing down pastors. They are important to a church. Every pastor without a pastor, every church without a pastor wants one, don't they? I talked to church at Tulsa. I said, well, we had a guy, he just didn't work out for us. They're going to have to keep searching. Now, Decatur needs a pastor. There's just not enough to go around. I wish I could stretch myself out. 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will. And give me another couple minutes, I'll be done. I'm not quite out of time anyway. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, destitute of the truth, destitute of the truth, supporting that gain is godliness from such withdrawal. Gain is not godliness. You know what godliness is? Being a ready of mind, being in the house of God, not with your finances, not with your family problems, not with your job problem, but a readiness of mind to have it baptized in the word of the living God, to study, to show thyself the truth. One of the preachers in Odell said, you know, a lot of people write this stuff on the Bible. He said, I wonder if they ever go back and look at them. A lot of people write notes. Do they go back and look at them? Or do they just want themselves busy? Now, I don't care how you look at the church. I care about what you're learning. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. True contentment comes from godliness in the heart, not from wealth in the hand. A person who depends on material things for peace and assurance will never be satisfied in life. Is a billionaire ever happy? Can't. Think about it. $1 billion. Think about that. That's a lot of money, isn't it? I mean, give me $1 million, just $1 million that I can live with. I guarantee you I'll survive the rest of my life. If I live to be 120, I'll still have some. But $1 billion? How about 10 billion? How about 100 billion? How about some of that Musk money, like 200 and whatever billion? You know what? They're never satisfied, are they? If you got a big, fancy, pretty home, you know what you want? You want a bigger one. You got a beautiful car, you want another one, don't you? You want a bigger one, don't you? A better one, don't you? We're not happy. We have to be with the Lord's church and with the Lord's work and with the Lord's word. And if you're still in 1 Timothy chapter 6, go down to verse 7. We always want more. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out.
Amen.
Job said that, didn't he? Lord said here in 1 Timothy, didn't he? We're not going to carry anything with us when we leave. Except the works we've done for the Lord on this earth. That's all we're carrying with us. Our reward is given to us by Jesus Christ and it's coming. That's the only reward we need to worry about. That's the only reward we need to concern ourselves with. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. Family doesn't matter. Jobs doesn't matter. Nothing matters above the Lord. Too many people, too many Christians, too many pastors make other things matter when they do not. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask Brother Laffey, if he will, dismiss church word prayer.